My name is Laurie Thompson, and I was a practitioner on the panel. My role was to be the voice of the teacher. I have 10 years of teaching experience in both primary and intermediate, and I was a math coach as well. If I were given this guide as a teacher, I would look right at the recommendations and see that they work from a primary level up to a middle school level, and I would first find which area actually fits the grade level that I'm teaching. So if I were an intermediate teacher, I would probably look at recommendations 2 and 3, which focus on the use of a number line and the computation parts of fractions. I feel like we did a really good job of picking up things that are obvious stumbling blocks for teachers. There are so many times when it's easy to say, yeah, this is great, but how am I actually going to make this work in my room? When I would look at this guide, I would say the big things that jump out at me as a teacher are that fractions are numbers. Thinking through fractions with number sense is a really big idea that this guide focuses on. The other thing I think that was huge is just the importance of using the number line. I can't stress enough what an eye-opener it was for me as a teacher to put the number line in front of my kids and have them try to place fractions on the number line. That was one of the most memorable lessons I've taught as a teacher. I vividly remember the first time I discovered the importance of using a number line with my students. I had already finished teaching my fractions unit. They took their assessments. They all did great. And then one of our next objectives in our curriculum was decimals. So many teachers often think of that as a completely separate entity. However, that's something that this guide also encourages, is to think of fractions and decimals together and the relationship that those numbers have. Part of the curriculum for us was to compare equivalent fractions and decimals. So I decided, well, I'll put up this number line and we'll plot some decimals on the number line, and then I'll throw in some fractions and they'll go back and put them on there, and it'll be a great lesson. I gave them a fraction 3/4 and they put it between the 3 and the 4. So we had this extensive discussion about, where are we going to put this number? Does it make sense to go in between the 3 and the 4? If we have 3/4 of something, does that mean we have 3 wholes? Does it mean we have 4 wholes? What does the number 3/4 even mean? And this conversation literally took 45 minutes for us to talk this through. And we ended up going with the example of a cake. Unfortunately, we often think of food when we think of fractions, but we talked about, if we had 3/4 of a cake, does that mean we have 3 cakes? Well, no. So we can't put it on the number 3. Does it mean we have 4 cakes? No, we can't put it on the number 4. So if we ate 3/4 of a cake, where would we put this? And so we finally ended up with the question, well, is it more than 1 cake that we have? No. So then we knew we had to be less than 1. And that was when it really started to click. Oh, 3/4 is not even a whole, 1 whole. So then we're able to place it on the number line in between the 0 and the 1. I believe that the greatest thing you can learn by using a number line is it assesses students' ability to see fractions as numbers and see what fractions' role is in the number system. Another beneficial piece to the practice guide is the figures or examples of children's work that we have used, particularly in recommendation 3, where we're discussing the importance of computation. I think it's a great starting point for teachers to see that you can give them visuals to help them understand the algorithms before you actually move into just teaching the algorithms. And I think this is beneficial for both students and teachers to see the thinking behind how the algorithms work. Why does 1/2 + 1/3 = 5/6? The visuals here really help you as a teacher explain this and have your children truly understand it.